This Advent season, we've been looking at particular Christmas carols that we are probably familiar with, and looking at a little bit of their history, and then looking at passages of Scripture that the carol may have pulled from, and using these well-known songs that may evoke memories and past experiences to what this period of waiting is all about. We've looked at the Christmas carol, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. We've looked at God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And this Sunday, this third Sunday of Advent, the carol that we're looking at is the one that we sang right after that quick break, O Come Emmanuel. And that one is probably one of, as I shared earlier this morning, it's one of the oldest texts that is sung in churches today. You could probably map the words clear back to the years 768 to 814. So clear back then, when these ancient monks would sing during Vespers. They would chant the week before Christmas, and they became known. What these monks would chant, would sing. They became known as the O Antiphons. They called them the O Antiphons because each verse that they chanted began with the word O. Each verse centered around a title for Jesus. You would have O Wisdom, O Adonai, O Root of Jesse, O Morning Star, O Emmanuel, and others. They would sing one verse, so maybe they would start with O Wisdom on December 17th, and then they would sing one verse a day until December 23rd, and on December 23rd, they would sing O Emmanuel, and it was with joy. It was almost in a spirit of anticipation, where you're adding a new antiphon each day leading up to Christmas morning. It was in the waiting and a building of excitement with each new verse every day. Now, in the early 9th century, the chant that these monks would give was turned into a poem and turned into the musical style that we're familiar with today. In fact, we sang it this morning in the style from clear back into the 9th century. No one knew who wrote it. No one knew where the song came from, who wrote the actual music to it. But it was discovered that the music was very similar to a French funeral procession. So if you were to go back and, in your mind, sing O Come Emmanuel, there's a sadness to it. The tune almost sounds sad because it was apparently from a French funeral procession. And so you could almost say that there is a sadness, yet joyful anticipation behind the carol O Come Emmanuel. A sadness, but also a joyful anticipation. In one verse of the carol, it speaks of O Rod of Jesse. And that speaks directly from a passage in the book of Isaiah, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, if you want to turn there. The context of this verse, before we get to reading it, the context of Isaiah 11 is that the people of Israel are in need of hope. We looked a few weeks ago about King Ahaz and how his and the people's hearts shook with fear because of this army that they perceived around them. And it was where God said that he himself would provide a sign. A woman would bear child, and they would call him Emmanuel. Well, this is still roughly the same period of time. They're looking for hope. They're looking for some kind of an answer. The threat of their world coming to a cataclysmic end is before them, with foreign powers ruling over them. And in fact, the devastation would come, and then the devastation would fall upon those foreign powers. Just before chapter 11 of Isaiah, we read of this image. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 33 reads this: "See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one." And so here's the image that the people of Israel, the people looking for hope, have before them, that God is going to come through, and it's like the entire forest is going to be chopped down. It is going to be a devastating look. If you can imagine a forest where all the trees are just wiped out with a mighty axe. It's a desolate place. And so it's in this experience, in this word picture, this imagery, where the question is, where is our hope going to come from? What is the answer to all of this devastation? And it is into this picture of a forest chopped down, devastation everywhere, the prophet of Isaiah speaks of one who will come. Stand with me as we read Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 1 and through 9. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, the text should be on the screen behind me. This is what the prophet says in the midst of this devastation image. He writes, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear and the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Let's pray. Father, as we look at this ancient prophecy, at this word spoken into a society of desolation, of fear, of anxiety, Father, may your word speak even now as we look on this side of the cross and the resurrection, as we look at what we understand this scripture to be a prophecy and fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Father, may your words continue to speak to us as we live, as we move, as we have our being. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So some words of encouragement in the midst of this desolation picture, but also words of some somberness, almost an anticipation. But like the carol, O come, Emmanuel, there's a sadness behind these words, as well as anticipation, a sadness in the midst of looking around and seeing what has happened to your society, to your people, and what may come forward, the uncertainty of what's happening, but then also this is going to happen, thus saith the Lord. And so he speaks into this word picture of all of these trees lopped off, all of these trees being taken to an axe. And the very next statement he says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, who became a king. And as the gospel writers explain, Jesus himself was of the lineage of David and Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And so what we have here is this image, like the forest around them, Israel has been reduced to the stump of a tree. And like the vine of a vineyard, it has all of its branches clipped. It appears to be dead. It appears that there is no use to this. And yet, the prophet Isaiah speaks to the people that from this supposedly dead stump will come a shoot, will come a growth, a rod, a branch. There will be evidence of new life, true life. In the New Testament, we would call this everlasting life. Not only will there be a new growth, a new shoot or a new branch, but the Spirit of God will rest upon this person. Now, the words, the Spirit of God will rest on him, should not be taken too lightly. Because, number one, it quite literally happened at Jesus' baptism, where the witnesses saw the Spirit of God come and rest upon Jesus in the form of a dove, quite literally. But also the idea of the Spirit of God resting on anyone. In the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God came upon something, it was almost chaotic. It was almost overwhelming. It was almost something to be, oh my goodness, what happened? Think of Samson killing all of these people with the jawbone of a donkey. And you're like, the Spirit of God. But here, the prophet Isaiah says the Spirit of God will rest upon him. There will be this almost controlled power in this person. When you look upon him, you will see authority. You will see ruler. So like the people of Israel in the time when Isaiah wrote these words, in 2019, are you looking for hope? In this period of time that we find ourselves in, when you look around society, you say, where is our hope going to come from? Maybe we even say, yes, we're followers of Christ, and we know where our hope comes from. We know where we put our hope. But, man, where is our hope coming from? Does life ever seem to be reduced to a stump, and you wonder, what in the world is happening? It seems like all the branches are being clipped and all that's left is this seemingly useless stump, and you're tired and you're worn out and you're exhausted. How many more things do I have to be doing? Do I have to work at? It's just enough already. It feels like an axe has been taken and I'm tired. Verse 1 speaks of Jesus as the descendant of Jesse, quite literally a root from his family tree. Verse 2 speaks of the Spirit of God resting upon him, which quite literally, as I said, happened at his baptism. Verse 3 speaks of Jesus because he did not judge by what his eyes see. In fact, he says man judges that way. Jesus, in fact, looks inside at your heart. In fact, all of his teachings pierced into past the surface level of the law and went to the heart of the law. And as we read the letters of Paul and the disciples, we read that Jesus, in fact, is the righteous judge, as Isaiah wrote. He, in fact, does bring justice to the poor. On the consolation of all things, the book of Revelation, we read that Jesus will bring justice to all. All of these words were meant to invoke an anticipation for this type of world where this person on whom the Spirit of God rests, we want that. Isaiah then uses such graphic imagery of predator and prey next to one another. He wasn't necessarily meaning quite literally this is what you're going to see, but it was more of a symbolic, this is what it's going to be like, this kingdom of God that will rest on this world. It's a world of peace. When he speaks of children and snakes and vipers, you're like, that is so bizarre. It is so graphic. What he's getting at is your children are going to be safe. Even in our world, as we take a step away from King Ahaz and the people in which who were living in fear and anticipation and anxiety, even in our world, we hope for a world where our children, where our grandchildren will be safe. Amen? And we look around and we say, that is not how the world currently is. And so that could bring about fear, that can bring about anxiety, and yet the word of God through Isaiah says, there will be a kingdom where your children will be safe. We long for that kingdom. Even on this side of the cross, we long for that type of society. And at the end of verse 9 of Isaiah 11, we read of the waters covering the seas. And so here's an elementary question for you. How much water covers the seas? The answer is all of it. Unless you want to be really smart-alecky and say, well, there are islands and the water doesn't cover them. No, we're talking about the waters over the seas, all of it. It's complete. So he says in verse 9, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. So how much water covers the seas? All of it. How much of the world, how much of the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord? All of it. Do we not long for that kingdom? Imagine the kingdom of God as lived and taught by Jesus, filling the entire world in the hearts and minds of every person. We're talking about the peace that Jesus taught. We're talking about the hope. We're talking about the safety. We're talking about, above all, the love that Jesus lived and taught. Imagine that kind of kingdom, that kind of world. And God says, it is coming. So just as the monks sang one verse a day in anticipation, O Rod of Jesse, O Adonai, O Emmanuel, Isaiah spoke words of anticipation to the people. And now here, in our modern time, we get to live out the anticipation in Jesus' kingdom. So this is our challenge. We take the words from Isaiah. We take the instruction from Jesus, having been alive after his resurrection. And we grab hold of the hope that he professed, that he lived. We ingest it. We savor it, and then we live it. We receive of it, and then we give it. So what we could say, if we wanted to boil it down, we could say that the Advent season serves as a reminder that peace is coming. Peace is coming as the waters over the seas. It will come. Forgiveness has been given. And it reminds us that it is not coming because of any cleverness that we may have. no matter what ingenuity we may think we are, hard work, it's coming simply because God so loved the world. And so this anticipation season, this Advent season, it proclaims that followers of Jesus, we have become signs ourselves that this kingdom is coming. You have the opportunity to now live this kingdom that Jesus has been teaching. You get to play a part. You get to play a role of this kingdom coming. This knowledge of God filling the earth as the water over the seas. You and I get to be a part of that. As long as we are breathing, by our living in Christ, we get to keep this hope alive. We reveal that God remains at work in this world. That alone should give us hope, should speak hope to our neighbors, to our family, to our coworkers. So what does that look like? Very practically speaking, the kingdom of God happens whenever you extend kindness to someone, whenever you extend compassion, whenever you extend this love that God has given to you, and you in kind take it and give it to another person, you then are the embodiment, the living, breathing embodiment of the sign of God's kingdom. When you see the hungry fed, when you see the parentless nurtured, when you see peace being made, the knowledge of God is filling the earth. So this Advent season, as we hear the words from Isaiah to the people of Israel, the people of Judah, as we think of the monks who sang this seemingly sad but anticipatory song, may your faith be renewed that all over Morrow County there are signs of God's love. There are signs of His righteousness being planted as these shoots sprouting up. It's a foretaste. One of a famous hymn would call it, it's a foretaste of glory divine. It's the dress rehearsal, and you and I get to be a part of it. Beginning in 2020, Gilead Friends Church is going to begin a two-year endeavor. It's going to begin our mobilization, both in large scale and in small scale. The 16 townships of Morrow County, reaching thousands of people with the hope and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That is our task. Beginning in just a few days. Already, I have been hearing from you ideas that you have. We've been praying, God, use our creativity. Reveal to us how we can reach these people. Not simply because it's a task that we have to do, but because we believe in the hope and the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ. We don't want to hold it ourselves. We want to be partners in this knowledge of God filling the earth. So what is that going to look like? 16 townships in 2 years, thousands of people. How will God reach them with your creativity, with the creativity He's given you, knowing that you are a part of this kingdom, extending this peace, extending this hope, above all, extending this love of Christ? It's not going to look the same for everyone. God has tasked you, and He's probably tasking you. He's calling you to specific things. We may do church-wide events. We may do small individual things. We may do ministry when our different ministries take an opportunity and go, whether it's feeding firefighters, feeding teachers, giving them little snacks to say thank you. Maybe it's going into the trailer homes and extending hope and practical ways to get out of debt. Maybe for some it is you're going to become foster parents. Maybe some you're going to get involved in the drug trafficking and how God will use you and your resources and your smarts to put an end to it. When I spoke to the mayor of Mount Gilead, he said the number one issue in Mount Gilead in Morrow County is drugs and how it destroys families and people. How does the church respond and say there is a better way, there is a more hopeful way, there is a more loving way to do life, and it is called the kingdom of God? May I walk with you in it as we follow our Savior. We have been tasked with taking the kingdom of God there. Will you stand with me as we close? Heavenly Father, as we go about our lives, as we reflect on one more week of the Advent season, as our lives are filled with events, endeavors, get-togethers, parties, shopping, all of these things that make up the Advent season, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to take your light with us wherever we go. May we be obedient in whatever opportunities you place before us to extend this peace, to extend this love, this hope that Isaiah was speaking of, that Jesus embodied, that we received and accepted when we repented of our sin and made the decision to follow Jesus. Father, if there is anyone here this morning who has yet to make that decision, or maybe has taken a step back and has forgotten what it is to follow Jesus, I pray your Spirit would move into their hearts and minds, encourage them, equip them, Father, for the people who we will encounter this week, whatever their baggage, whatever their story, may you have us walk with eyes wide open, with ears waiting for your nudge, for your leading, and how you would have us live the kingdom of God here and now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. If you get a chance, connect with Todd, connect with Ann Branningham, and then we will see you in the lobby for our quick lunch before our meeting.